The global business consultancy Ernst & Young is the latest to ask their staff to work from home, all 8,000 of them in the Oceania region, which includes Australia. Businesses big and small are now taking a serious look at how telecommuting, as it's called, might work if the government orders a full lockdown. Here's reporter Tom Eagledon.
Quite a few of Ernst & Young's people already choose to work from home. Now the company's asking every one of its 8,000 people in the region to skip the office unless they've got no alternative. Kate Hillman is the company's regional head of people.
It's part of our objective to keep our folks safe and others.
It's also an opportunity for a dry run if and when the government orders a lockdown.
Our ability to move everybody to that mode is something that we haven't done 100% before. Doing it now allows us to iron out any kinks ahead of us being required to do that.
She's not too worried about the technology side of it. Laptops and internet connections are standard for the company's workers. Social isolation looms as the biggest potential drawback.
It's about making sure that we stay connected and cascading through a very large organisation like ours, responsibility for each and every person so that everybody knows that someone cares about them and someone is in regular contact with them.
Humans are a social animal and we need to trust each other and build meaningful relationships if we're going to work properly together.
That's Will Davey, CEO of Car Next Door, a car sharing service that has around 60 employees and which took the plunge years ago with working from home.
Most, if not all, would either work entirely or 20% of their time at home.
And how have they found it and how have you found it as the boss?
Look, it's been a bit of a journey. I think every boss just gets a little bit nervous when you sort of can't see people doing stuff.
But as he soon discovered, that's not the main problem with the idea.
They could be mucking around at home. If someone's at the office, they actually could be. There's plenty of ways to look busy on your computer whilst not really doing much.
He says normal office rules apply, setting clear goals and making people accountable for reaching them is important. Team leaders have weekly check-ins with staff. Just as importantly, social interaction over video conferencing is encouraged. One of his teams plays a virtual game of Pictionary every Friday instead of popping off to the pub for a few beers. The result, he says, is happier staff and a better business.
It just wouldn't surprise me if at the end of this a sustained period of everyone working from home, a large number of businesses either decide we don't need a main office at all, or we can downsize our office significantly.
Before the coronavirus, it was definitely on the rise anyway.
That's John Hopkins, a researcher at Melbourne Swinburne University, who's looked into working from home. Almost 90% of staff he surveyed last year loved the idea.
Saving on petrol, saving on parking. It's a tool that they can use to improve their work-life balance. But we obviously don't want people being forced to work remotely if they don't want to.
Well, that brings us to the coronavirus, because that indeed, in the case of a 14-day self-isolation, is exactly what people would be required to do. Is there any advice you can offer them for those who might be dreading that prospect to make it a little bit more bearable?
Well, look, that's definitely a little bit worrying. So particularly for organisations and workers who haven't worked remotely before, it's going to be a change.
Swinburne University researcher John Hopkins, Tom Eagledon with that report.